thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rodan Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everybody.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning to you.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our guest Rhode Island House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Ian. Pleasure to be here.
Speaker, let's start with the campaign finance issue involving your 2016 run for re-election to state representative in Cranston. You acknowledge overspending from your political action committee account by $72,000. You also say this did not offer a strategic advantage for you since you had more than enough money to cover this spending in your personal campaign account. But you had this PAC and you had your personal campaign account. Your Republican opponent, who lost by 85 votes, Stephen France, did not have a PAC. So, in effect, people were able to give you $2,000 per year if they wanted to, rather than the conventional limit of $1,000. Didn't that give you an advantage over Stephen France?
No, absolutely not. Because although I do have a PAC, I learned that you can only use it really to donate to others, practically speaking, because I almost used it as my account. And it could only give me $1,000 because there's the limit. And that's why using that account, I ended up being over in the spending on myself. But I had a personal account that had probably close to $300,000 in it, a campaign account. So absolutely no strategic advantage. I had absolutely more than enough money to run as big and aggressive a campaign as I wanted to. In fact, it was too big. And it should have been smaller, more targeted, more local. So, you know, it wasn't the best run campaign, I'll be the first to admit. And, you know, we did have plenty of money to run it. I regret that we used the wrong account, but there's absolutely no strategic advantage.
Before we go to Maureen and Scott, one follow-up. The Board of Elections chose not to issue any fines toward you in this matter, but the board has fined other elected officials for other campaign finance violations. What do you say to people who see a double standard there?
Well, I mean, people see what they want, Ian. This was an over-the-limit receipt of contribution. So I looked through the records in the past and see how often they fine for that. I don't think they do. I think they warn you for a first offense. I think it's exactly the same standard. There are a lot of people that would like to see the speaker being treated special in a harsher way, and that's not fair. So I believe the Board of Elections that has expertise in this, that listens to these complaints, made the appropriate finding, and I think it's very consistent with what they would do with anyone with the first offense over the limit contribution receipt. That's what it was, and I think they were very appropriate. Unfortunately, everybody has a political agenda, and everybody would like to see the outcome that they want. That's why we have a board. That's why we have a judicial system, for objectivity.
Let's go to Maureen.
Oh, well, first of all, I just wanted to comment. Nonetheless, the money that was spent for a legislative race was truly astounding. But my question has to do with the mail ballots. I'm reminded that on election night, you did say that even though you lost the total, that you were sure you would prevail because of the mail ballots.
And when you say total, you mean the conventional
votes. The conventional total that were cast on election night. And I've been talking to some people, and they're concerned about the idea that political operatives handle these ballots. They collect them and they turn them in. And I sense a move to change the standard in terms of how we handle mail ballots. Would you support something like that?
Well, that's a very general question. Would I support making
not
the process?
Not having political operatives use the mail ballots, collect the mail ballots.
Well, you just have to show me specifics. That's a negative. Show me how you want it done, and we would consider it. What I will say is this. The reason I was so confident, it doesn't matter who handled the ballots. They were all friends, some family members of friends. They were all people that we knew very, very well. So it doesn't matter if you collected the ballot or Ian connected the ballot, anybody. Those folks I knew were votes for me, or they should have been. I would have been shocked if they weren't. I didn't see the ballot. My folks didn't see the ballot, but I knew who voted. And, you know, they were kids away at college and stuff like that, a very close friend. So, you know those folks are going to be voting for you. It doesn't matter who's handling the ballot. So I think the ballots were handled very objectively and appropriately. But I knew who voted, and that's why I was confident in who voted, not how the ballots were handled. So it doesn't matter. Any objective process that works would be fine for me. But if a cousin or a very close friend or a family member votes, I'm pretty sure I'm getting that vote.
Oh, he is probably right. I think the Republicans are more upset about this than Democrats. However, what can we do from your side of the aisle? In the legislative side, you have big majorities, Democrats, both in the House and Senate, to try to make our campaign finance laws more transparent and, frankly, a little stricter. I mean, the governor was here last week and talked about we ought to have spot audits. Shouldn't we codify that into law?
I have absolutely no objection to spot audits. I think the Board of Elections is already doing that, and they should be doing that. So you don't have to legislate that they have audit power. We don't have to legislate that they can do that. If the need is there to do that, I would absolutely support the Board of Elections doing spot audits. But I believe they are currently doing that. I've seen that they've done that.
It's my understanding that they don't do spot audits as a standard practice. Those audits are not taking place.
Well, I'll communicate with them. Have someone in my office do so. If they're not doing that, that's absolutely something that should be done. I would agree with that.
Do you believe, Speaker, that Rhode Island's campaign finance laws are too complex? And if so, what changes would you advocate?
They are complex. I mean, in my campaign, for instance, we had a lot of people. I had a lot of people around me that probably should have known better than using the wrong account for spending. And I'm an attorney. I should have known better, but I've never actually studied the law. I generally know it. I made a mistake in a complex race. So, you know, during an election cycle, there's a lot going on. You've got a lot of responsibilities, plus your daily responsibilities. And the law is, in my opinion, relatively complex. I don't know how to simplify it because you need transparency. But it is complex, and that's why when folks do make innocent mistakes, you have to consider them that way, and you have to look at the intent in the mistake that was made.
We're short on time here, but we want to get your stance on an issue that's being debated increasingly now. That's Mayor Alorza's proposed effort to monetize the Providence water supply. He says this is the best hope of shoring up Providence's woefully underfunded pension plan, but many people are concerned that this would lead to an increase in water prices for ratepayers. The state Senate seems to be more supportive of this. I know you'll say that this will get a full and fair airing at the State House, but how do you feel about this?
Well, it will get a full and fair hearing, and to be perfectly honest with you, I haven't seen the legislation, so I don't want to prejudge anything, but I made comments last year, generally speaking, about the proposal. It's a water delivery system, so we have to look at the quality of the water that's being delivered as well as the rates that our constituents are being paid. I cannot imagine how you can monetize a large sum of money out of that system and not raise the rates substantially. So, you know, I'm willing to listen and learn and consider, as our committees will, but I think there's a ratepayer issue there that we have to be very mindful of, and we will be.
You sound a little skeptical.
Well, I have natural concerns. My responsibility is my constituents in Cranston and the entire state of Rhode Island, and I will make sure that their interest is protected.
All right, we're out of time, so we need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And the Speaker of the House in Rhode Island, Nicholas Mattiello.
Ian, pleasure. Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And you can find a lot more on our website at ripr.org.